Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2423 with a release date of Friday, April 5th, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams are on alert after a bridge collapse in Baltimore. Candidates in Germany prep for the country's newest class ham license. And a weather service outage in the U.S. reminds hams of their vital roles in emergencies. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2423 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Union, Kentucky, here's Neil Rapp, WB9 VPG.
Our top story is the ongoing recovery following the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in the U.S. city of Baltimore. Hams were put on alert, and several days into the recovery, severe weather rolled in. Kevin Trotman, N5 PRE, has this developing story.
A call went out for heightened awareness among radio amateurs in the Baltimore, Maryland area as the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed on Tuesday, March 26th, after being struck by a cargo ship near the port of Baltimore. Shortly after the early morning incident, Chris Van Winkle, AB3WB, manager of the ARRL Maryland DC section, reached out to ARRI's members section-wide, asking that they stand by. Meanwhile, Maryland and Baltimore officials declared a state of emergency. As Newsline went to production on the 4th of April, hams remained on alert as severe weather pounded the region, posing potential complications to recovery operations near the harbor. Sid Caesar, NH7C, the assistant section manager and public information coordinator, said section leadership continued to be vigilant, engaging in incident planning in case the need arose to activate any amateur radio support in the days ahead. This is Kevin Trotman, N5 PRE.
As weather tracking and communications technology grow more sophisticated, it's easy to think that system failures won't be a problem in an emergency. In the American Midwest, however, weather watchers and hams got a dose of reality, as we hear from Randy Sly, W4XJ.
Several areas across the United States received a wake-up call on the night of April 1st when a national data network outage knocked out radar and warning capabilities in many cities just as severe weather began hitting the central part of the country. In the St. Louis region, just as a storm system brought heavy rainfall, hail, and even a tornado to the area, the Weather Forecast Office's radar and warning systems went dark. Meteorologists had to rely on other resources while calling on the Kansas City office to provide backup. Michael Musher, a meteorologist and spokesman for the National Weather Service, told the media, quote, "During this outage, some warning services were impacted," end quote. He indicated that they are working with network vendors to determine the root cause for the five-hour blackout. Radio amateurs were active across the heartland. For example, Fox 19 TV in Cincinnati reported ham activity for a tornado in Mason County, Kentucky. A former Skywarn amateur radio coordinator for the Washington, D.C. Baltimore Weather Forecast Office told AR Newsline that the best thing we can do for the National Weather Service is always be ready to serve. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
AMSAT-DL has outlined a proposed microwave amateur radio payload for a geostationary satellite in response to requests from the IARU and the European Space Agency. The proposal favors positioning that would include Eastern European countries and large portions of Eastern North America, with the western limit including Ontario and points east. In a 31-slide presentation, AMSAT-DL Kai Siebels, DH0SK, and Matthias Bopp, DD1US, outline a plan that they believe would include the most suitable orbit comparing the intended coverage to that provided by the successful OSCAR 100 satellite. The suggested main downlink would be in the 10 GHz band, while the uplink could be on a number of different bands, including 23 centimeters and 13 centimeters, to encourage experimentation. AMSAT-DL also said that the mission would become an excellent resource for disaster and emergency communications, noting that a GEO satellite transponder was used during the earthquake that struck Turkey in 2023. While hams prepare to get on the air on Monday, April 8th to assist with ham size ionospheric studies during the solar eclipse over North America, one group of hams in the area of totality will have some more terrestrial reasons to be active. Jack Parker, W8ISH, explains.
Members of the Mid-State Amateur Radio Club in Johnson County, Indiana, have been put on high alert for the upcoming total eclipse on April 8th. County EMA officials requested backup ham radio communications in case their county 800 megahertz radio system becomes overloaded during disaster communications. With over 300,000 out-of-town visitors descending on Franklin, Indiana, the total eclipse epicenter, the sheriff is planning on all cell service and possibly their radio system to be overloaded. When all else fails, that's when the Mid-State Amateur Radio Club OXCOM team comes into play. Nearly two dozen hams will be on hand at six countywide deployment sites to handle normal and emergency traffic if needed. The hams have been part of the planning task force since last fall. Johnson County has two major interstates and several state highways that carry traffic through the county and around central Indiana. Johnson County roads are expected to be jammed with traffic before and especially after the eclipse. In August of 2017, Kentucky had gridlocked highways for hours following the eclipse. Johnson County is planning for all contingencies, including lost communications. As of last week, the Indiana governor declared a state of emergency until after the eclipse weekend. That's why, if all else fails, there will be amateur radio. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
In Germany, the DN license is a go. The race is on for hopeful would-be radio amateurs to get their applications in for a test in the new Class N entry-level 2-meter, 70-centimeter, 10-meter license. Unlike in some other countries, in Germany, all license examinations are run by the regulator, the Bundesnetzagentur, or BNetzA for short, and places in the first test sessions are limited. On March 20th, the regulator opened the floodgates through an announcement on the social media platform X for applications for the tests to be submitted. The first test will take place in Dortmund on June 24th, the day the new class of license becomes legal. Further tests are scheduled during June in Nuremberg on the 25th and at Ham Radio Friedrichshafen on the 29th. 10 further tests will take place in July at various locations around Germany. Here's to lots of activity from the new hams as soon as they have their licenses, perhaps during Ham Radio Friedrichshafen or soon after when they have bought their new radios at the show. The open source developers of the M17 project have been busy and they recently announced new releases. We have details from Stefan Kinford, N8WB.
New open source software, hardware, and UHF-VHF digital voice protocols have been launched by the M17 project with the support of Amateur Radio Digital Communications. Further refinements to the Amateur Radio Digital Communications protocol include a new remote radio unit, or RRU, that is described as a comprehensive UHF-FM/M17 repeater in a box. According to a joint press release from the M17 project and ARDC, the unit is designed to accommodate close antenna placement, producing better and more reliable signal strength. Other improvements include the ability to convert a 9600 baud capable radio into an M17 transceiver through the use of the M17 modem and an open HT transceiver which uses SDR technology for QRP dual band operation. The March 29th press release announced that an RRU transceiver is also in development with the goal of providing a comprehensive FM/M17 repeater for remote sites or masts. It is expected to feature direct antenna connection that eliminates the need for a long coax. This is Stefan Kinford, N8WB.
If your plans to visit Xenia, Ohio next month for Hamvention include a side trip to the National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting in nearby Westchester, you'll be pleased to know that the museum will once again have expanded hours. On Thursday, May 16th and Friday, May 17th, you can visit from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m., on Saturday, May 18th from noon to 9 p.m., and on Sunday, May 19th from noon to 5 p.m. Admission is $10. WC8VOA, the Ham radio station of the Westchester Amateur Radio Association, will be on the air. Visit wc8voa.org or voamuseum.org for more details. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including shortwaveradio.de, broadcasting via shortwave from Germany into the UK, Ireland, and Western Europe. Newsline is played at various times throughout the week on 3975 and 6160 kilohertz. Do you know a promising young radio amateur who'd be a good candidate for the Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award? Let Newsline know. Candidates must live in the continental United States and be 18 years of age or younger. Tell our judges about your nominee's talent, promise, and commitment to the spirit of ham radio. This is your chance to help honor and acknowledge that person who will, no doubt, go on to teach and inspire others. Find the nomination form on our website, arnewsline.org, under the Awards tab. Nominations close on May 31st. A ham in New York has won a top honor from Radio Amateurs of Canada, and he's the first recipient of this new award. We hear about him from Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
Receiving a top award from the Radio Amateurs of Canada was twice the honor for Stephen Hines in 2PQJ. He is not only a winner of the Canadian Century Club Award, but the first amateur in the world to receive it. The New York amateur had been chasing stations in Canada for the longest time in hopes of one day qualifying for its Trans-Canada Award. That award was discontinued, however, because its requirements were deemed outdated. For one thing, it failed to recognize the Northern Territory of Nunavut, which became Canada's third territory in 1999. Enter the Canadian Century Club Award, its replacement. To qualify, amateurs need to show evidence of two-way contacts with a minimum of 100 amateur stations in Canada, with between 1 and 20 in each of the 10 provinces, and between 1 and 20 in any of the three territories. Stephen's achievement is celebrated in the latest issue of Canadian Amateur Magazine, where he's pictured holding the award. Congratulations on your persistence and patience. According to the RAC website, the challenge doesn't end there. The RAC said it's considering the addition of endorsements for 200, 300 or more stations. This is Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
A de-expedition to an environmentally sensitive Pacific island has just received a substantial grant to help with the activation, as we hear from Ralph Scolacci, KK6 ITB.
The Northern California DX Foundation is providing a $75,000 grant to the Dateline DX Association for its Jarvis Island National Wildlife Reserve de-expedition this summer. The N5J team recently announced that the trip received the much-needed go-ahead from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Hawaii. Government approval was needed for an activation from this rare entity because it is an environmentally sensitive location. Three research biologists from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will accompany the team. The permit was issued recently to the Dateline Group's George, AA7JV, and Don, N1DG. The activation of N5J will be done two ways. Four operators will install six radio-in-a-box stations on the island, operating CW, SSB, and FT8 on HF and 6 meters. Radio-in-a-box enables operation remotely from a boat when land access is restricted. 25 other operators from Asia, North America, and Europe will be on the air remotely via satellite using CW and FT8 in Fox and Hound mode. The 13-day de-expedition is tentatively set for the 1st of August and is subject to change depending on the weather. Jarvis Island has not been on the air since 1990. It is part of the Pacific Remote Islands Marine National Monument. This is Ralph Scolacci, KK6 ITB.
In the U.S., a federal agency that oversees volunteerism and community service has honored a New Jersey radio amateur for his leadership in regional emergency response. Cell MB KB3 TZD has that story.
Congratulations to James Kennedy, K2 PhD, who received a Bronze President's Volunteer Service Award from AmeriCorps, the agency of the U.S. government that promotes community service and volunteerism. James received the award on the 26th of March in recognition of having given 100 hours of assistance to the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. He serves FEMA Region 2 as a volunteer regional coordinator, meaning he has oversight of activities and response up and down the coast of the state of New Jersey. Apart from his FEMA responsibilities, James serves as Northern New Jersey Area's Section Emergency Coordinator in the ARRL Hudson Division. He is also the manager of the Community Emergency Management Response Team for the Township of Roxbury. Licensed as a ham since 1960, James served during the Cold War era as a U.S. Coast Guard and commercial radio telegraph and signals intercept operator. This is Cell MV, KB3, TZD.
In the world of DX, be listening for TEV, TA1HZ, operating holiday style as 8Q7HZ from the Maldives, IOTA number AS013, between the 6th and the 15th of April. He will be using sideband and FT8, FT4 on 30, 20, 17, 15, 12, and 10 meters. CQRZ.com for QSL details. Special call sign II1GM is on the air through the 30th of April to celebrate the 150th anniversary of the birth of Guglielmo Marconi. You can hear different operators calling from different call areas, such as II1GM-1, II1GM-2, and so on. CQRZ.com for QSL information. The DARC special event call sign DA24WARD is on the air through to the 30th of April, marking World Amateur Radio Day. CQRZ.com for QSL details. Listen for Tom, K7TLM, and Leslie, KD7YZE, operating as E51TLM from Rarotonga, OC013, in the South Cook Islands, from the 7th through to the 13th of April. They will operate QRP on 10-meter sideband and slow CW. CQRZ.com for QSL details. Radio has a long tradition of hunting, whether it's for a rare DX, a soda summit, or an island. Our final story looks at some of the more unconventional hunts that went on during Easter weekend, hunts that involved anything but Easter eggs. Jim Dameron, N8TMW, has that story.
On Easter weekend, QRP operators in the U.S. Pacific Northwest went hunting. Their quarry was the Sasquatch, the hairy, mythical forest creature also known as Bigfoot. On the Friday just before Easter Sunday, the annual Sasquatch Stomp stepped off, organized by the Pacific Northwest QRP Group. Designed for CW operators, the contest's other distinction was its method of scoring. It awarded negative points, and the lowest points determined the winner. Meanwhile, radio enthusiasts throughout Europe were busy hunting, too. They tuned their dials in search of radio pirates. The contest was just for fun, as it has always been since it was launched during Easter holiday season in 2016 by a group known as Radioactives of Middle Finland. Jan, one of the organizers, explained to Newsline in an email that the Easter holiday break in Europe gives people the free time to hunt for as many unlicensed broadcast stations as they like. Pirate stations, also known as free radio stations, are popular in much of Europe, and the playful competition brings extra holiday cheer, not to mention good listening. Jan and his friend, Jan Mikael, keep the rules simple. Participants didn't even need a radio. An online SDR receiver works just fine. With events like these for holiday hunters, who needs Easter eggs? This is Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
Don't forget the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. If you're not too busy tuning your antennas or chasing the latest de-expedition, pick up a pencil and share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, ARRL, CQ Magazine, David BR, K7DB, DX News, DX World 425, DX News, Fox Channel 19, GNU Radio, HamSci, Jarvis Island De-Expedition website, KSDK TV5, National Weather Service, New York Times, QRZ.com, Radioactives of Middle Finland, ShortwaveRadio.de, Sid Caesar, NH7C, TapIntoRoxbury.com, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org. And know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Union, Kentucky, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024. All rights reserved.